are in the fourth week of the Beatitudes, we're also in the whatever-eth week of the words of Jesus. We're all year looking at the words of Jesus because the words of Jesus are what matter for us right now, today. And so we've looked at blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the pure in heart. And today is blessed are the meek. The scripture is simply blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And I wonder if any word has ever stirred less passion than the word meek. I just don't, even when this was on my study list, I was like, that seems really, really kind of boring. And it sounds timid and afraid. But here's what we can know for sure. If it sounds like Jesus is telling us to be weak and afraid, we've got it wrong. And we know Jesus isn't telling us that. So we need to figure out what is Jesus telling us? What does it mean to be weak? And so I want to swerve out for 1 minute. While I was in beautiful Ohio this week, Nate Petzl, a member of cabinet, shared a word that really hit me. And he talked about how Jesus' words give authority. In Luke 4, it says, this is after Jesus is tempted by Satan, and then he goes down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. There were lots and lots of teachers in this day, lots of rabbis, but there's something here. They're amazed not because he's so eloquent, not because he's cool, not because he knows all the cool ways to say things, not because he's got clever communication devices. They're amazed because his words have authority, that when his words land, something happens. The words of Jesus have authority that no other words have. They can heal, they can challenge, they can change, they can free us. They have the authority to influence us toward right living and right purpose. These words we're studying this year are powerful missiles of transformation. With Jesus, there are no wasted words. Every sentence matters. And so this sentence matters. Blessed are the meek. So we see this truth about the words of Jesus. They have authority, but they also are meant to restore authority to us. Adam and Eve lost authority in the garden, and the pronouncement was made, eventually, your seed will crush the serpent's head. But they lost authority. And so in Luke 10, we see Jesus circling back around to this moment, and he says to his disciples, look, I have given you, always pay attention when Jesus says, look. It's like, look at this. I mean, he's going to show you something cool, right? He's going to show you something really awesome. And so what he's saying is, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and what? Crush them. Authority has been restored to you by Jesus Christ. The authority lost in the garden is restored by the Son of God who comes to walk and live and move among us. The authority that was stolen is given back to us. And I wanted to point this out during this message because I think it lays the groundwork for us to understand that Jesus is not talking what he's not talking about when he says, blessed are the meek. He came to restore what was lost. What was lost abdicated authority. It was abdicated in the garden. His words carry the authority to do that. So when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, he's not talking about giving up authority. He's talking about what we do with power and what source of power we lean on for survival and success. It's important that we understand this up front or we will misconstrue this sentence. Meek is not weak. Jesus could have come and taken charge of the whole world. He could have come, flags waving and guns blazing, and he came instead to an unwed mother in a stable. In Philippians, it tells us that he emptied himself and took the form of a servant. Can you imagine Jesus in all his kingly robes and crown in heaven just, I've got to get rid of that. I've got to lay down that. Nope, not that. I don't get to take that with me. I've got to go in restrained. He empties himself. He fills himself with humility and empties himself of his right to dominate humanity and chooses instead to love them. He empties himself of this desire to shoot lightning bolts like the disciples wanted. We'll call down lightning bolts and kill him. Oh, somebody's missed the heart of God. Someone's missed the definition of meekness. Jesus comes saying, I'm going to restrain my power, but never once give up authority. On trial before his crucifixion, we see this. He could have easily gotten out of it. You see him do it in the New Testament before the cross, before his trial. There are times when they want to kill him and Jesus just sort of disappears. He could have done that here, but he chooses to submit to death. He doesn't give up authority, but he restrains his power. He could have easily destroyed them, but instead he restrains himself and maintains his authority. That to me is the perfect definition of meek. The willingness to restrain power that could do damage or circumvent the will of God, or it's also the circumstances of finding ourselves without power to self-protect or vindicate or get ahead. Jesus actually does not specify. He does not say, blessed are those who choose to be without power. Blessed are those who restrain their power. He says, blessed are those who are without power. Being willing to restrain power is a virtue. Being just without it is a void, but both seem to be blessed by God. Blessed are those who don't wrestle back control of a situation instead of trusting God with it. Blessed are those who don't depend on their own strength and their own good ideas and their own words. Blessed are those. Meekness isn't weak. It's strength that refuses to grasp. Meekness is strength that refuses to grasp for what it thinks it needs for its own survival. This statement of Jesus and the meaning of meekness is taken straight from Psalm 37, which talks over and over about people who live with open hands, people who aren't graspy in their life. It says, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. You know that word trust actually means to float or to be careless, just to float. That's a big deal. You know how when somebody's drowning, they just start to flail and even fight against their rescuer? Trust means float. Trust that God is with you. Trust that he's carrying you. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. This describes people who trust enough not to force their own outcomes. People who trust God enough not to force their own outcomes. They don't grab power. They don't retaliate. They don't manipulate. They don't try to gain their own security. They are settled, secure, trusting. And then it says in Psalm 37, the meek will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. This morning I read Psalm 37. It's one of my go-tos that I read. Sometimes I'll read it every day for a month because I need to get that into my spirit. But it says inherit the land in Psalm 37 like 8 different times. It just keeps saying, if you're willing to let go, you will get something back. If you're willing to let go, God will meet you in this. Over and over and over again it says it. The violent try to take the earth. The proud try to control the earth. The anxious try to secure the earth. But the meek trust that God will give what he has promised. They don't live with constantly clenched fists. They have surrendered. And Jesus says, in the upside down kingdom, the people who refuse to grasp for life are the very ones who receive it. I know this is tricky because it's hard to be meek. It's hard. I feel this in my own soul. It's uncomfortable to relinquish control or relinquish our grip on the things we most desperately want to maintain and make sure we get to keep. I'm a easy grasper. It's also not something other people automatically admire. Like, I don't think it's something we really list on our resumes as a strength. I'm really great at restraining power and trusting God. It's not really something that everybody thinks is great. I'm great at meek. Hire me. You'll love it. We don't really do that. So if it isn't easy, and if it isn't comfortable, and it isn't admirable, what makes it worth it? I keep asking myself that when I study the Beatitudes. What makes it worth it to be poor in spirit? What's at stake if I don't? What makes it worth it to hunger and thirst for righteousness? What makes it worth it to wait? What makes it worth it to restrain power in order to refuse to manipulate something into our own advantage? What makes it worth it? Simply the blessing side of the Beatitude. The meek will inherit the earth. This is arguably one of the biggest promises Jesus gives to anyone, anywhere in the Gospels. It's so big, in fact, that I think it's easy to miss how meaningful it is. Inherit the earth. Not just, sometimes we think about this as heaven. Eventually, someday, we'll inherit the earth. But this also means this earth. The meek will inherit here in the place where his kingdom will come and will set all things right. N.T. Wright said, Jesus is not promising an escape to heaven, but participation in God's restored creation. There's something about the meek, those who are willing to restrain control, that God trusts to join with him in obedience. So this promise is not going to heaven, but rather God bringing heaven and earth together, where the meek, those who have not grasped for power, but instead possess divine authority, will participate in the government of renewed creation. The Beatitudes keep telling us about divine reversal. Those without power now receive a tangible share in God's reign later. They're willing to what? Wait. They're willing to live the way they're called to live now, knowing that something's coming. Something's coming that's better. I love the word inherit here. To inherit is to receive what belongs to a father or a family. If you win $1 million on The Price is Right, that doesn't mean you're Bob Barker's kid. It just means you got a prize. And if on the way home you are careless with that prize, someone with bigger fists or bigger weapons than you can take it from you. Not so with an inheritance. An inheritance is not taken by force. If your parents are going to leave you $1 million, I can't break into the safety deposit box and steal the will. This is mine now. I'm actually it. You know why? Because I don't have the right name. I'm not their kid. I don't belong to them. The inheritance doesn't just belong to someone. The someone belongs to the inheritance. It's a whole identity, an inheritance is. It says, this child is mine. They are of the family meek. And they will receive an inheritance. An inheritance here doesn't just tell us how much we receive. It tells us who we are. You are a child of the person with the treasure, and you have been made a rightful legal recipient in it. You have the legal right to own it and manage it and multiply it if you want to. This is not a reward. This is about belonging and rightful possession. And Jesus just told us this prize will go to those who are without power and without control. Shoot. In Jewish thought, inherit the land meant something really specific. So when I came in this morning, I'm like, we try to develop this beautiful community here where things are peaceful and loving and good, and there's coffee is plenty, sometimes pancakes are plenty, all the things are happening. But people sit in these pews in various degrees of inheriting the earth where they are. Maybe you feel like your earth is all topsy-turvy today. Maybe you feel like you are living on broken ground. Maybe you feel like there is almost nothing that you can control. What does it mean to inherit the earth? There was a specific meaning to this in Jewish thought. It meant dwelling securely. Isaiah 32:18, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Leviticus 26, you will eat all the food you want and live safely in your land. I will grant peace in the land and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. I wonder how you feel, even just in the context of your physical home right now. Do you feel secure? Do you feel like you're living in the middle of a war zone? Do you feel like that you have peace inside your dwelling? Are you longing to move to a more peaceful dwelling? Are you longing for something that feels more secure and stable? That is part of inheriting the earth. The second thing is freedom from oppressors. Ezekiel 34 says, they will be secure in their land. I will break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from those who enslave them. Isaiah 14 says, the Lord will give you relief from your suffering and turmoil and from the harsh labor forced upon you. This can mean an enemy. Maybe you have an enemy right now. You have someone who is against you or is actively fighting against you. I think God wants to bring you peace from that. But maybe it's an enemy within you. That's what David and Becca and Bill and Cindy are in the game for. The enemies within us that keep us from freedom, the things that oppress us that are within us, that keep us always bowing down to another God that we don't want to keep serving. The other thing we feel is a part of inheriting the land is peace. Psalm 37:11, this is again the original verse Jesus quotes, the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Isaiah 54, great will be their peace, in righteousness you will be established, tyranny will be far from you. Psalm 29, the Lord blesses his people with peace. I have never known a time in our world with more anxiety everywhere. We are slaves to anxiety in our world. If you read any amount of news this week, you know anxiety is everywhere. And I have never heard anyone say they were totally panicked, but man, they made great decisions. Boy, they were on point. Nope. Anxiety makes us crazy people. It makes us make really bad decisions. And God promises, if you live inside and refuse to grasp for control, I will give you peace, peace from anxiety. There's one psalm that I quote to myself a lot when I'm trying to sleep, and it says, in the multitude of anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. And then fruitfulness. And my notes say, Corey, come back here. So I'm going to say, Corey, come back here. Yay! Fruitfulness. Leviticus 26 says, the land will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Psalm 67 said, the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. As I was praying about this week, I felt like maybe there are some of you who are longing for a child or are longing for a child to return. And I want to pray with you this morning that God will hear and see and respond. Maybe you are someone who just says, no matter what I've done, it's never worked out. I just have not experienced fruitfulness in my life. I don't feel fruitful in my relationships or in my finances or in my health. And I want to know the fruitfulness that comes from being someone who has inherited the land that God has for them. And the last one is intimacy with God. Jeremiah 24 says, they will be my people and I will be their God. Leviticus 26 says, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will walk among you and be your God. This is Old Testament. I will walk among you and be your God. Imagine New Testament. Imagine now with the Holy Spirit walking here among us, being our God, promising friendship with us. Ezekiel 37, my dwelling place will be with them and I will be their God and they will be my people. The promise, inherit the earth, is not about domination. It's about resting inside God's promise of life as it was meant to be. So I want to take some time this morning as we finish up and pray for these things. We aren't just going to read the words of Jesus. We're going to trust that they have authority to meet us in our place of need. How sad would it be if we study the words of Jesus all year long and never once apply them? If we study all of these missiles of transformation and never experience being transformed? I can talk to you all day long about the words of Jesus and what they mean, but there is a participation in this where you say, God, here I am. I want these words to land in the land of my heart. I want them to land in the soil of my soul. I want them to begin to grow and produce something that I haven't experienced before. This is the blessing, the beauty of friendship with him, that he is the tender of the garden. He walks among the rows and he says, I'm going to plant and I'm going to water and I'm going to grow and sometimes I'm going to weed. But in this, we begin to experience who he wants us to be. We do not will ourselves into these things. We participate with the work of God, but we do not will ourselves into fruitfulness. We are asking God, release my grip from my own ability to seize control and help me to trust you. We are coming with our empty, open hands to ask for his good rule in our lives. And while we know the meek inherit heaven, we also believe that we can ask for earth too. So I'd like you to stand with me. We believe, along with ancient Jewish thought, that to inherit the land means to live in a peaceful, secure dwelling. If you are someone who says, I need a new home, I am not safe where I am, I'm not safe within the context of my home, if in any way you feel I am not living in the space, the actual space that I want to live in, I want to pray for you now. If you would just lift your hands to Jesus, we're going to pray and believe that God is going to do something for you. So Jesus, we love you. And today with open hands, we relinquish our control over our own homes, over our own dwelling spaces. And we ask, would you come in? Would you provide? Would you bless? Would you bring peace and safety where there has been fear and trepidation or insecurity or scarcity? God, for everyone who is living today under the heavy weight of scarcity, fearing everything will be taken from them, I ask Jesus that you will bring your provision and you will bring safety and security to every dwelling place here. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you. If you need freedom, perhaps from an enemy, perhaps from someone who really truly feels against you, perhaps from an enemy inside of you, from an addiction, Pastor Mark mentioned to me today somebody who went to CR because they were addicted to social media, not to pornography, just social media. They just couldn't get away from it. They couldn't put their phone down. And that is real. That is a real and new addiction, a real and new oppression in our world. If there is anything that you feel there is an enemy against you, I want you to be willing to raise your hands and let's pray and let's ask the God of freedom for freedom. So Jesus, we thank you that you are here and you are good and you see us and you see the strategy of the serpent to keep us bound up and captive and held tight to things that are less than your best. And so, God, we relinquish our control. We relinquish the bonds that have held us. And we ask, God, that you would open every prison door today, that you would open every chain, that you would break every addiction and every cycle, everything that goes back from childhood and into generations. God, we ask that you would be the God that steps in and says, no more. This is the line, and freedom is coming to your house today. God, we pray that you would be the only one that we depend on for freedom and that you would meet us in our desire to know freedom and truth and wholeness and joy. If you have been bound by anxiety, if you feel like it is irrational in your life, there is an anxiety that keeps you up at night, there's an anxiety over things that you know maybe aren't even real, but it's real to you. This has been me so much of my life. There is no shame in it. There is only trickery in it. It's smoke and mirrors. I think God wants to set you free today. We don't have to just go this way because all of America is getting stressed out. We can say, Jesus, I want to live free of this. And so if that's you, I want to pray with you. Father, we bring our troubled hearts, we bring our turmoil, we bring our anxiousness, we bring the fear that surrounds us, and we ask, God, would you step in and would you bring your great peace? There is a multitude of anxieties around us right now, and we know that you are still the God of everyone. You are the God of every circumstance. You are the God of every nation. You are the God of every war. You are the God of every person who calls you by your name. God, we ask that you would come and that you would bring peace that passes understanding, peace that passes even our need for understanding. Set us free to be people who dwell safely, securely, and confidently in your world. The fourth one is fruitfulness. I just feel if you've been longing for a child and haven't been able to have one, or if you are longing for a child to come back home in any way, I think this is a moment that God wants to speak to you this morning. If you also, as I mentioned to someone, you just say, it just hasn't worked. The things that I've tried, it seems like they don't work. I'm longing for fruitfulness in a way I haven't experienced it. I want to pray with you this morning. God, who knows all of our ways, all of our children, we invite you to be the God of fruitfulness. Holy Spirit, we do the bravest thing this morning when we release our control over our kids and let you be the boss of this, trusting that you're a better parent, you're a better God, you're a better redeemer, you're better at all of it than we are. And so, God, we trust you. And we ask, would you bring our children back who have wandered far away? Would you bring them to a land of wholeness and safety and security? And would you multiply our love for them? For those who have longed for a child and haven't been able to have one, God, we ask that you would meet them in their need. You are the God of fruitfulness. We trust you. We trust you. The last one is friendship with God. Pastor Steve was telling me that this has been one of the prayer requests we've been getting a lot lately, is people who say, I just feel like I can't hear God. I don't know God. I'm trying to have this relationship with him and I'm not finding it. And we just want to believe that today God will break through. If that's you and you feel like I'm struggling, and there, you know, you could have 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago said, I hear God clearly and I see him clearly. And today you feel like the heavens are closed. You don't see him. You don't hear him. We keep pursuing and we keep hungering for him, but we also trust him to meet us. He will be our God and he will dwell with us. So if that's you and today you just feel distant from him, I want to pray for you. God, we thank you that you've promised to be our friend. It is astounding. It is astounding that the Lord of heaven and earth emptied himself to come and be with us. That the Lord of heaven and earth left all of the hierarchy of heaven, left all of the thing that would keep us separated, the caste system, and stepped right into our world as one of us. We thank you and we receive friendship from you. For those who have really never felt worthy of a friend, I ask today that you would break that lie off of them in the name of Jesus, and they would know that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God, for those who have never felt received by their fathers, I ask today that they would hear and see and know you as friend and father. Today, God, we ask for a microwaving of your work in us. Would you do something remarkably miraculous today in us, because we love you and we need you. Corey's going to end with this song. And this is a song that I think is going to be important for us in the days ahead. Our team wrote it, and our team, I'm going to say, received it. and it's important for us. I want you to listen to it and let it sink in. Let it kind of absorb. Like I just feel like some hearts are like the dry dirt in a pot of the potted plant. Thank you. Help from the crowd. I appreciate it. I need pinch hitters sometimes. That when you pour the water on it, it kind of runs off, but eventually it starts to sink in. And I just believe that God is here for that today. And there's something in this song that makes me feel that. There's something in the house of God. There's something in this house that God is doing, that he is meeting us in a significant way. And I am not messing around. I want God to show up. I want him to show up here. I want to hear him and know him, and I want to see lives changed. We're not just messing around. Time is short. We want to know him. So I want to listen to this song, and then I'm going to come up and close.
You can have your seats as I sing this over you.
You're always there through every change, through every season. Watching a wedding for one to come. You're always looking for one of your own. So welcome to all who are lonely. Welcome to all who are lost. There's always room. Sister in the house.
thank you, Jesus, for the goodness of your house, your heart, your home. We recognize that we belong here, and we thank you for it. We thank you that we are called by your name, held in your heart. We love you so deeply, and we trust you today with all the things that concern us, with all the things that make us want to grasp for control. We trust you, and we will keep trusting you again and again and again and again until you call us home. We love you. We worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, the prayer team is going to be up here, and please do not leave this place until you prayed with them if you need to. If you want to touch base with them on something we prayed about this morning, I feel like there are some people that are really dealing with some hard things today. I really would love for you to meet with them and pray with them. If you would like to receive the benediction, you can put your hands out in front of you. May you be people who understand what it means to relinquish control and live in the authority that God has given you. May you walk on the earth as those who know his grace and know his ways and share it with their world. In the name of the one who makes everything new, amen. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next weekend.